Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest episode of Combox Knockouts on Combox TV, where the game lives on, it never dies. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at DeathMango on Twitter, and I've got a pretty big panel today. You've got Jared Kimber, who you can find absolutely everywhere, Varun Alvaconda, who you can find absolutely nowhere, Shayan on Twitter is Tweets by Shayan, and Saurabh has such a bad Twitter handle that no one can remember it. It's got something to do with 42. That's all I can recall for now. But yes, we haven't done one of these knockout shows in quite a while. So basically, it's just a... I'll actually let Varun do the explaining, but he will. Varun Alvaconda will be the game master for this one. Jared, Shayan, Saurabh, and I will be competing. Varun, take it away.
So the rules are quite simple. When I say the fixture, all four of you will hold up the person you want to go through. That's basically it. So the list, this is actually just 32 players compared to the 64 players we used to do before this. I think one of the reasons was I wanted it to be less rogue and for us to talk more. Plus, again, there's also more scope for
people. You don't think there's 64 all around us. That's just...
Also,
that's also very true, yeah.
We should tell the viewers that this is a knockouts episode on test all-rounders. Am I right, Varun?
Yes, it is test all-rounders. So the minimum criteria, let me remember what I actually did for this. It is 25 games, 1,000 runs, 75 wickets, runs per match of 33 or more, and a balls per match of 100 or more. So that gave me a list of about 44, and I basically eliminated about 12 based on vibes.
No, we trust
you.
Are
we ready? Are we all emotionally ready?
Who did you eliminate on vibes? Who were the vibesy people that you left out?
Ben Stokes.
Yeah, the people whose zodiac signs I didn't like.
Ah, fair enough.
Okay.
Yeah. Are we ready for the first
fixture? We are ready.
Fixture?
Let's go.
All right. So the first fixture is Benjamin Andrew Stokes. And do you guys think I stitched him up or did I give him an easy match?
Yeah?
It's Ben Stokes versus Chris Cairns. Knocked
him out. Oh, all right.
Ooh.
So somewhere in between stitching him up and giving him
That's like a...
So for those who don't know, we have a whole video that was ready to go for this summer on who is the better player out of these two guys. And it is actually a fascinating conversation, right? Yeah,
guys,
so this is not as easy as it seems.
Not straightforward, not in the slightest, but I have my answer.
I have mine too.
I have mine too.
On the count of vote then.
All right, guys, show me your answers.
Oh, unanimous.
And it's a whitewash.
All four of us have voted for Ben Stokes. So on your bike, Chris Cairns.
So,
man,
so
if I had known that three of you were going to vote Stokes, I would have voted Cairns just for the...
So the big issue for me is that Cairns doesn't actually play that many test matches. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
And he's also famous for pulling out of test matches at the last minute. And to be fair to Stokes, he will play in a test match even when he's got like a limb missing, right? So there is a difference there.
Stokes will purposefully remove a limb just to show how heroic he is.
Yeah, just to show that he could play a test without a limb. I think we're pretty confident that Cairns is the better bowler out of the two. And
I don't know, pretty confident, but maybe I'd give it to him,
He's a more useful bowler, at the very least.
I want to say he has more than three wickets a test. So it's like 205 wickets in 62-odd games. Mm. Am I right? Like, the numbers are somewhere around that ballpark.
Well, I mean, he averages under 30, right?
Yeah.
And 3.52 wickets per match.
Yeah.
I think that you could play him as a fourth bowler more confidently than you could Stokes in general. And also, because he's a new ball bowler... Yeah. It gives you maybe more of an impact than Stokes does. Whereas the game's already kind of found a pattern before Stokes even becomes a good bowler. The batting is more confusing. I think Stokes is obviously the more talented, but Cairns played some fantastic innings himself. It's just that he played for New Zealand in a period when no one was paying any attention to them.
I mean, look.
Some would say Cairns is a man of big moments and not a stats person.
I don't think a lot separates the two, Ben Stokes and Chris Cairns. But, you know, towards the fag end of his career, Ben Stokes actually became a better bowler. I just think he has more moments and he is the moments cricketer, isn't he? So that's how he took my vote.
I mean,
but does he have more moments because you're watching the game?
Exactly, because we've watched more of his moments. Because
Cairns has incredible moments. There's a test match... Yeah, and he played more as well. There's a test match in, I want to say it's in Brisbane or somewhere. I can't remember, but I think it was in Australia where like Australia just panicked and didn't know what to do in this game. And Cairns is just punishing them. There's no difference at that stage between Stokes and Cairns. right? It just happened to be that it's a test match which might even end up in a draw. I can't even remember what the final result was. And it just sort of disappears, whereas, you know, some of these other games haven't gone in that direction. So I think if you really go through it, Cairns is a phenomenal. I mean, how many times do we bring him up when we're talking about like underrated ODI players? Like, he really is a fantastic player. Obviously, the back end of his career is a bit more confusing. he's the diamond mine part of his career is slightly different, but yeah, like I do think he was he really is a massively underrated test player.
Plus, Stoke
Jared, I have one question.
I think, but what swings it is, you know, Cairns has played half the test that Stokes has. No, Cairns is 62, Stokes is 122. So
also, I mean,
yeah.
So I have one statement on this, guys. Just that, can we say that Chris Cairns is the better player, but Ben Stokes had the better career? No. He's played more. He's played twice the games. And
I'd say, yeah, that's fair.
He's got more availability.
I don't know if he's the better player, also,
maybe
honestly.
Maybe if Cairns was in a more professional setup.
He wasn't a very professional setup, no? I mean, New Zealand cricket, generally...
It's just the wickets for me. 280
wickets. It was actually amateur, fair enough. The setup he was playing in Cairns.
Yeah, wasn't it? What was it, Jared?
None of the first-class players got paid.
Yeah.
Was it Ross
Taylor? That is exactly why Chris Cairns features in the ICL and Ben Stokes doesn't.
Yeah, I mean,
no, look, that is why, I mean, New Zealand being not so professional is why Shane Bond, we lost the last 2 years of his career, right? Because he went to the ICU.
Fair enough. Okay, well.
Which is a tragedy that isn't top.
All right, let's move on, folks. Chris Cairns is out. Yeah. Ben Stokes is in.
So the next matchup is Daniel Vittori versus Trevor Bailey.
Okay.
Oh.
Damn. Okay, I have my answer. Am I the only one who's actually writing them down? Everyone else is on their phones and tablets.
I might be there too.
No, I'm also writing it down. My tablet wasn't working.
This is a whiteboard. Okay.
All right. So 2 votes for Dan Vittori, 1 for Trevor Bailey. And Saurabh is not the deciding vote. So let's see how this works out. Vittori.
What did you write? Okay. So he's written
it so big that we could see it easily. But just for the audio viewers, if we do release this as an audio podcast, 3-1, Dan Vittori has defeated Trevor Bailey. Jared was the only one who voted for Trevor Bailey, and we'll give him an opportunity to explain himself.
Mm-hmm. I think that Trevor Bailey is probably one of the most pliable players of all time. His ability to sort of do any kind of role that you wanted him to do, whereas Dan Vittori is really probably a secondary spinner at his best, right? Who batted at number 8 and ended up at number 6. So he got really good, but he didn't offer them a lot of flexibility for a long time. Basically, what he offers them is a spinning, defensive spinning option, right? Whereas I think in Trevor Bailey's case, he could bowl with the new ball, he could bat up the order. He kind of did everything that it was needed of his team. He doesn't have great numbers, but neither of them really have great numbers, do they?
Well,
like, they're not.
Just to bat for Vittori a bit, quite literally, he has scored the most runs ever for a number 8 batter in Test cricket, right?
Yeah, and so on the all-rounder metric, I give no fucks about that at all. That means he provided no flexibility for his team. They can't fit 5 bowlers in the team then, Bayram. That's what that means, right? So if he was the player he was at the end of his career, I don't think there would be any argument between him and Bailey. Bailey opened 14 times in test matches for England, in 14 test matches, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the flexibility that Bailey gave their team, and as we all know, the England team certainly took full, that they were more flexible than anyone else. We're still not really sure why.
Any of the batters.
Yeah, sometimes they were flexible in a bad direction. But as an opening bowler, he was really, really good. Right? Like, if you gave him the new ball, he nipped it around. He's a fantastic cricketer, really, in many ways. I don't think there's much between these two. I could have gone in either direction. But I do think that if you're talking about purely as an all-rounder, I wonder if you don't get more out of Bailey than you get out of Vittori throughout the entirety of their career, just because he does provide flexibility.
He bats a lot in the top 6, doesn't
also,
he?
Yeah, even top 7 for that matter. There's just 9 innings where he's not batting in the top 7. So that's a huge deal, I think, in that sense.
And averages better than 30 with the ball, right? Like, I think Vittori is probably a better bat than Bailey, but I don't know if he was as technically sound. Like, you couldn't open the batting with Vittori, right? Like, he's going to bat 6, 7, or 8. So he doesn't give you the wild flexibility of
Fair
someone
enough.
Like Bailey.
Also, Varun, before we move on to the next round, or pick rather, can you explain to us what happens if there's a 2-way split, if the vote is 2-2? What do we do then?
I'm going to flip a coin.
Wow.
Varun, who would you have voted? Hilarious. Who would you have voted through in that round?
Okay. Probably Bailey.
So that's what we're doing. So. We're not going to flip a coin. Varun, your vote is the deciding vote if we get to a tie. Okay? Yes.
Is that what you want? I don't mind. I just wanted it to be more unbiased. That's
and then we'll complain about that too.
We'll complain throughout.
So the next round... Oh, wait, sorry. I forgot this round. So the next round is Imran Khan versus John Reed.
Okay.
Yeah, this is going to be quick.
I didn't even wait for you guys to finish. I already went through.
Yeah. Let's not even bother, guys. We all know what's happening here.
Yeah.
It's a unanimous
look, John Reed,
vote for Imran.
John Reed is a fantastic cricketer. He was good enough to bowl, bat, and wicketkeep at international level.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. By the end of his career, I think he was named to, I think they had like some international 11 or something, and he was either, I think he was the all-rounder, he might have even been the captain. Like, he was really well-respected. The bigger problem with him is, though, that New Zealand had no top three for most of the time he played, and he should have batted at 5 or 6, and he was batting at like 4. He was basically opening the batting for them, and that was not his skill.
I think that's one of the reasons I put him here, because it's really impressive that he was batting at 4 and still bowling a decent amount.
He was so good. Also, I think he bowled spin and pace, so he's a bit like, I was going to say Glenn Phillips, but he's a bit like Garfield Sobers, Glenn Phillips, you know, Andrew Simons, in that he basically, whatever you asked John Reed to do, he would work out how to do it. He was an incredible athlete. Imran Khan is just
I think
better.
The issue over here for John Reed is that he is matched up. Yeah, he's matched up against one of the best all-rounders of all time. And so the vote was unanimous in favor of Imran.
Varun, do you know what John Reed's record is in one test matches?
How many has he won? That's what I was going to ask. Can any of
them was three, honestly.
I don't know.
Yes.
Four wins, 13 losses.
Whoa.
Yeah. There's a great moment where he says, I think there's a, like, I can't remember if it was an interview or something, but he said something along the lines of, there's a certain point when you go into the change room, you tell everyone, we could do this, and you just know you absolutely cannot do this.
Was it part of the first ever win, or was he just a bit after that?
Sorry?
Was he part of New Zealand's first ever test win, or was he
I think he retires. Yeah, he retires well before that. I mean, he missed out on all the good times. He really was like almost a one-man person. I'm not sure if he won a test as captain.
He won 3 test matches, so he must have been part of their initial wins, right? Yeah.
3 as a player.
Oh, he was part of their initial wins, not their initial...
series wins.
Series.
Oh, not series.
Series win was 69.
Okay.
That was a hard one.
All right, so the next round is Ravi Shastri versus Tony Gregg.
Oh.
Ooh.
All right, then. Are we ready? On the count of vote.
Yeah.
Are we ready, guys?
Vote.
Yeah. Vote.
Okay, so unanimous.
It's a 4-0.
I actually thought Shastri would do better there. And he's a weird one, Shastri, because to go back to the Vettori thing, he's second spinner, right? Mm. But he does actually become really handy with the bat in multiple positions. And he does move around and he ends up being, you know, a top order player. He doesn't seem to get the respect that he deserves. Having said that, Tony Gregg has such a good record.
Yeah.
And people don't know about it. And it really is. And again, Tony Gregg bowled spin, pace, was a really good fielder in his era as well. Captain. Like, there's a lot about Tony Gregg.
Yeah,
bit of a dickhead at times.
Wanted to make opposition teams grovel. And that's... Yeah,
not
that's
ideal.
Basically, knows the word grovel, you know, because of Tony Gregg.
Yeah. Also, he was a human billboard before, you know. I mean, he'd be looking at Virat Kohli's Instagram account going, guys, you could fit about 20 more ads in a day here.
Great commentator, though.
Yeah, commentator. And I think he's the one responsible for, you know, Romesh Kalvitharna having as much hype as he does. If we just look at his record, he's nowhere close to Jayasurya. Their partnership...
Also, isn't it ironic that both of these guys, Ravi Shastri and Tony Gregg, are like iconic commentators? And unfortunately...
Yes, I was going to say that.
Unfortunately for Shastri, even though I think we all rate him as a test all-rounder, he's out of the knockouts faster than a tracer bullet. He's gone.
I think... I think I would have picked Shastri ahead of Bailey or Vettori, by the way.
That's a good one.
That's
I would have picked Shastri ahead of Vittori, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
And both of Greg and Shastri have iconic India cricket related commentary moments.
Yes,
you know, Greg
has
the dancing in the aisles for Desert Storm. Shastri has the Dhoni finishes it off in style.
Correct. Ravi Shastri also has the error in the most recent T20 World Cup final.
Let's not go there.
But we love you, Shaz, if you're watching.
I can give you a list of things.
So the next round is Kapil Dev versus Richie Beno.
Okay.
Okay. I'll have to think a bit about that one.
Okay, Shaya.
Yeah, you've got
thinking.
12 seconds.
He's got his thinking hat on. Yes.
Are we ready, guys?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Well, Shayan
is definitely
you need to hurry up,
ready.
Man.
This is like waiting for every piece from Shayan.
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, so...
And it's unanimous.
So, unanimous again. I'm waiting for when we have our first split because then Varun's vote comes in.
Did I know? You know, we were very, very close to the Bailey being a split because
anyway.
I went at the end with Vettori just because, again, with the Stokes and Cairns thing, Vettori has played nearly double the matches that Bailey has, test matches.
We kind of also have to look at years, I think, for the older players because they will not have the same volume of test matches, right, as the newer guys.
Yeah. He played 10 years. Bailey played 10 years. Vettori played
exactly
more than that. So.
Correct.
Yeah. So Richie Beno is fascinating because he is an all-rounder, but his batting doesn't really come across in Test cricket.
Yeah.
So he ends up averaging 24-25, which is just on the fringe of being an all-rounder. Mm. And also he wasn't a great bowler at the start of his career and he gets better, but he was playing in a team with a lot of other all-rounders as well. One of which may come up later, depending on how Varun has done this. And so perhaps it was a long batting lineup at times. So he would come in and he would bat in a sort of, I don't want to say cavalier way, but like, like a Safraz Ahmed type of guy. Like there was a lot of hustle. There was a lot of trying to move the game forward, in an era where people didn't do that. But he ends up being a great bowler. And so he's a bit unlucky here, but I just think I'm not sure his all-round credentials are quite at the same level as some of the other guys on this list. Certainly not as Kapil.
Jared, where would he bat in first-class cricket? Would he bat higher?
I would have thought he would have been about 7 and 8. I mean, some of those all-rounders we're talking about that might be in his team also played with him in first-class cricket. So,
along with 7 in test cricket, averaging 21/7. So I don't know how he played so many games there.
Yeah, I think it's because he was the captain and because they all knew he could bat. Varun, it just didn't. The runs never quite came for him for whatever reason. Like everyone knew how good he was. He averages, he made 23 first class hundreds, right? Like this is not like a, is not like a Jamie Overton, Adil Rashid situation. Like this guy actually could bat, right? And for whatever reason, he just didn't translate that career into test match runs. Obviously, his high point with the bat is probably when he's, ties the test in Brisbane. That was an incredible innings. And that innings in some ways kind of sets the tone for how people play at the death from then on in cricket history. And that was a test match.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's unfortunate to come up against Kapil, who of course,
Kapil just based on natural talent, he probably, could have ended up with, Sober-esque numbers or something. It's just that
Sober-esque?
I don't think he took his
Sober-esque
batting as seriously.
Pushing it, but okay.
Was it that Was it going to be like a 57?
Batting-wise. Him right now, Jared, or should we wait till the end of the show?
I don't understand why he's made this slur on Duffet Sober's name.
But yeah, Kapil carried India's bowling attack for the longest time.
I'm saying, he could have had like 2-3 more thousand runs like that way.
He could have made a lot more runs.
Yeah. And the volume of runs,
Like, Gary had 8,000. He could have also got close to that.
Fair enough.
That way. Don't fire
him. Good.
All right, so the next...
Good save. All right,
so the next round is we have Jack Callis versus Warwick Armstrong.
Okay. Warwick Armstrong, of course, we know through Jared, introduced sledging to Australian cricket.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The first bastard.
And he's on his way out. Yeah. Once
it's
again, unanimous 4-0 in favor of Jack Callis. We've only had one... Minus
this was
bit,
always
right when Jared votes for Trevor Bailey. Otherwise, it's just been 4-0 throughout.
Exactly.
What did you think of his record, Varun? Because it's pretty strong. I mean, you could argue Armstrong's record is a bit stronger than some of the people that have gone through so far. So he averages almost 40 with the bat, and he averages about 34 with the ball. I think his bowling's pretty average. Like he just bowls shit.
He bowls a lot of balls though. 161 balls per match, which is quite
very defensive. Just nagging. I mean, he was He's called the Big Ship. He was a larger gentleman. He wasn't, you know, maybe he's... not the most athletic. Of all the all-rounders on this list, he may be the least athletic of all of them. But he could certainly bat and was a really good player. And if you factor in captaincy, obviously he would maybe shoot back up the list. But he's nowhere near Callis's level. But, yeah, very important person in the history of probably cricket. He changed some of the laws of cricket because he was such a dodgy bastard.
I think on paper his bowling isn't that different to Callis's, right? I think just the batting ability is so high between the both of them.
Oh, Jared, by the way, he averages what, 19 with the ball in first class cricket? What am I seeing here? 832 wickets at an average of 19.7.
Oh yeah. 19.7.
And even with the bat he averages 46. Like, what is going on there?
Could have been the wickets.
47 almost.
Yeah.
But he's making the runs as well, Jared, in first class cricket. Like, he's just a better first class player than a test player by a mile.
He was a very slow bowler, and maybe by that period in test cricket, because he's playing from what, the 19... I suppose it's 1902 to 21.
1902 to 21, yeah.
Without going into his record, Varun, I would say he probably was very hard to play in the 1900 and 1910. And when the pitches started to flatten out, he probably struggled a little bit more with the ball. But I don't know. If you want to know more about him, Gideon Haig's written a whole book on him. He's a very fascinating person, as I said, in the history of cricket.
All right, then.
So his height on Cricinfo is recorded as 1.91. And you're saying he used to bowl slow shit. Like, that's... Imagine a guy built like that coming and bowling slowly.
Have a look at these photos on Cricinfo, though, as well. Like, as I said, it's not what... He doesn't look like clavicular, right? He's got a slightly different body shape.
He looks warricular.
The next round is Brian McMillan.
Warricular.
Okay. So it's Brian McMillan versus Ravichandran Ash.
Okay, so Ash has made the list, eh? Okay, all right.
I mean, yeah.
On the borderline, basically.
Yeah.
All right. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Are we ready, folks?
One second.
Put it up.
Yep.
Wow. I thought you guys will go McMillan.
Everyone. All four of us have gone for Ravichandran Ashwin. Of course, a friend of the podcast. Ash, if you're watching, we got your back.
That's the only reason I voted for you, Ash, by the way.
I'm a bit surprised by you, Jared. You're big on top six batters.
I'm huge on McMillan, but he doesn't really bowl all that much, and he had to be dragged to the crease, whereas Ash would bat out of position to try and help the team. And McMillan was not that kind of dude. I'm a big fan of McMillan. I just think, if you think about the versatility that Ashwin gave them as a great bowler, I think that probably tips over from what McMillan was. I would say McMillan's probably a top 25 all-rounder. Like, and I mean purely the term all-rounder here. Like, as in, he's one of the more all-round cricketers, because there isn't that much. His bowling's fine. He's
2 wickets a game.
Like, he's, no, but I mean, like, if, you know, he was economical, he nagged away, he took wickets, you know, I've got no real issues with his bowling, but he was a soft number six, I think.
I think it's because I think his best, he's averaging over 50 at seven, and it's not as good anywhere else.
Yeah. I mean, I really am a huge fan. I don't like, again, he might be someone I would have voted through against some of these other people.
Is he STM or Webster, Jared?
There was a period, I think, when South Africa were just coming back, when, you know, the great four all-rounders, that is Kapil, Hadley, Botham, Imran had all retired or were on the last legs, when McMillan was like the only all-rounder in cricket almost for a few months, you know. So suddenly he was like, oh, this is, you know, a rare animal in cricket. And
I think then
I think if you just look at Ashwin's bowling,
then he becomes the third best all-rounder in his
team. Then he becomes the third, because then Callis and Pollock come along. And
in the same game. Even Foster, like four all-rounders in the same match.
Oh, yeah. In the same team. Nicky Boye. We have to mention Nicky Boye.
Do we really need to mention Nicky Boye? Anyway, as it turns out, barring Tony Gregg, it's just a bad day for extremely tall guys. They're all getting voted out. But yeah, bye-bye Brian McMillan.
I would also say he does have a very high average, but it is a bit of an Imran Khan, Dan Vittori, Jadeja kind of high average, right? Like, it's basically no one can get him out, but he makes like two or three test hundreds, right? Like, he's not actually doing... Look, I still think I'll always stand for him, But I think Ashwin, you would rather have Ashwin in your side, yeah. I think, as an all-rounder.
Fair play.
Yeah.
So the next round is Monty Noble versus Keith Miller.
Okay. I think Keith Miller should have gone up against Monty Python, but this works as well.
Yeah. Or Monty
I'm going to do the Kimber family proud over here by voting Keith Miller. And we've all gone Keith Miller, haven't we?
Yeah.
Of course.
Does anyone actually know Monty Noble's record, though?
Yes, I did look him up. Yes.
So he is a really, really good player. It's very early era Test cricket, right? We're talking, the crossover. But again, he's probably a handy bat who just hangs in and gets a lot of, probably a high median guy like Imran Khan type of batter. But his bowling is really good, right? He takes 210 wicket hauls in 42 test matches. He was up there. But he's up against perhaps, again, if we're just talking about someone who's purely an all-rounder, Keith Miller might be the closest to the most all-round player we've ever had throughout their entire career. There aren't that many players who legitimately through their entire career could play as a batter or a bowler in their team. And Keith Miller is one of them. So it is a bit
different. I don't know about whether Monty's intentions were noble or not, but Keith Miller's weren't. So, I mean, he is the stereotypical all-rounder. You expect them to be bad boys. We've been having this conversation a lot. And Keith Miller epitomizes that character.
I'm not sure Monty was a bad boy.
Yeah.
I think he was a
Monty,
dentist.
Monty, very,
wasn't he?
Very noble. Bye-bye. Okay. Yeah. All right, Varun.
So the next round is Jason Holder
also
versus
apparently,
finish your thought now.
know the round, but you can say what you were saying, Chan.
I was just saying that he's also got the record of opening the batting and the bowling in the same match, which is also like a cool little fact.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who, Monty Noble?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He was a very good player. He's been a bit done over by the by Varun, which is
what was the next round, sorry?
I remember
it was Jason Holder versus Ravindra Jadeja.
And tough luck, Jason Holder. Again, a unanimous vote in favor of Ravi Jadeja. 4-0. Jason Holder, I expected him to make, at least the next round, but you can't be doing that if you've matched up against Jadeja.
Yeah. It's just hard luck.
Really unfortunate.
Probably still the third best all-rounder of his generation, guys.
Yeah, maybe.
Will that be a fair claim?
Fourth, isn't he, technically?
Who am I forgetting?
Well, if we've got Ashwin and Shakib.
You always forget Shakib, Shayan. This has been happening.
Always.
When did I forget Shakib?
When you, Saurabh, and I were doing some quick picks on a team, you forgot Shakib then as well.
I remember you picked Sanat Jaisurya, so don't
That's
talk.
A different podcast. That is a completely separate podcast.
That is the same thing.
I should say Sanat unfortunately didn't make this list.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, no.
Fascinating thing about Jason Holder is that almost all of his runs in first class level have come in tests. Whoa. And he never really made a lot of runs before he played test cricket. I think he's obviously a very good player, but I would say he didn't bat at number 7 or number 6 all that much. I think it's mostly at number 8. Yeah. So there is a difference. There. So, but obviously a fantastic player at his best. And he's got a lot better at batting. There's no doubt about that.
And that 2-year bowling.
I just wonder how, he would have done in a... Sorry, go, Shan.
No, I was just saying that he also has that bowling peak, right? From 2018 to 19, where he's like, I think he's one of the top ranked ICC bowlers as well. And it's just like he's taking almost 5 wickets a game. And he's also, a handy batter. So, that sort of a combination, you'd take that any day in your team.
Yeah. And I was just saying that I wonder how he would have done in a better team, where he didn't have to do the shoveling job, shoveling the shit away job all of the time with bat and ball. That he might have had better numbers, might have had a shot against Jadeja also. But as things stand
now, you can imagine, shoveling shit with a ball is a very hard thing to do. With the bat, you could still manage.
Yes.
But anyway, I'd actually take...
Yeah. I don't think anyone... I don't think anyone should be shoveling shit with a ball. Can we just say that? At Combox, we are against shoveling shit.
Exactly. But you know what's fascinating? I would take late career Jason Holder, the T20 player, over late career Jadeja, the T20 player.
Yeah.
T20, late career, you mean like IPL 2026, right?
Yeah.
I mean now.
Basically now.
Late career.
Okay, Varun. Let's go, bro.
So next matchup is Vinu Mankad versus Frank Woolley.
I think we're going to get a split on this one. This might be the first one.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go.
Are you ready, folks? Show it. If you're ready, just show
so
it.
So that's it for Woolley. It's all in favor of Vinu Mankad. Saurabh, we can't see what you've written at this point.
Yeah.
No. You're just going to have to tell us, I suppose. Yeah, it does Vinu. Say Vinu. All right, 4-0 in favor of Vinu Mankad. Yeah. Another one of those cricketers who's batted in all positions, 1 to 11. And he was India's main spinner as well, slow left armer. So, yeah. Of course, on...
Yeah. And he bowled like a ton of overs per match, man. Like, absolute legend. Workload was...
His surname is a term.
Yeah.
So, I don't think anything is called a Woolley.
Woolley is another one of these guys. Yeah, Woolley's another one of these guys with a bat who made a lot of 50s. So he's not quite a specialist batter. And he takes about, 1.2 wickets a game, I want to say, guys.
Out of this, 40 with the bat, right, Jared? I want to say. So he's around that.
36.
Oh, 36. Oh, 36, yeah.
36. Fair. But 100 about every 11 test matches or something. Mm. Like, it's he's not having a huge impact with a bat. Obviously, incredibly talented. And I think this goes back to what Cheyenne was asking about Warwick Armstrong before. He's another guy who averaged 19 in first-class cricket with the ball. I think those sort of slower, medium-pace, sort of accurate bowlers in first-class cricket, especially he was left-arm, which there wouldn't have been many of those around at that stage, were probably quite handy. But England didn't really use him as a bowler. They kind of used him as a 5.5 bowler, which, again, not horrible, but... It's some of these guys, like Vinu Mankad is literally like, would you like to open the batting and bowling, sir? There's a big difference in workload between the two of these guys.
And not just would you like to open the batting and bowling, would you like to do it while jet lagged?
Yeah.
He's done that.
Yeah. It's got some insane stories, man.
So next one, easy round. Aubrey Faulkner versus Mehdi Hasan Miraj.
Poor Mehdi, man. Poor Mehdi. Why would you do him dirty like this? All of us care about our jobs as well. If we don't vote Aubrey, Jared will for sure fire us.
Yeah, I don't even understand why this is around.
Yeah, easy pickings. 4-0 in favor of
I think Mehdi's quite good.
Interesting. All of us wrote Aubrey. We have been, not consistent with our patterns.
You're new to this show. It gets weird, bro. Like...
We start to work out about an hour in. Everyone's got a different pattern and it makes us all feel uncomfortable.
Remember when I said SPD for Steve Smith and Behram was like, what?
Yeah.
Yes, I saw that. And even while watching that, I mean, what?
If you think about it.
I think I understood immediately.
If you think about it, he is more of an Aubrey than a Faulkner, right? Because James Faulkner comes to mind.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
just on Mehdi Hasan, he must have almost the lowest batting average of anyone you put on the list.
Yeah,
yeah,
would
I think
be
he's, what is his
25?
Batting
average?
I mean, I actually think he can, I think he could become an all-rounder.
Yes, yes.
Right? I think he's probably more a project player at the moment than an all-rounder.
We
the
had
same
him
way
in the most improved player, Jared. So he's definitely getting better.
Exactly. We know, I mean, look, he's 28, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We assume his
he's
best next four batting
years
will be
now. The issue with Mehdi is that if you're playing outside of Asia, it gets really tricky for him. Whereas Aubrey Faulkner would play everywhere he... got an opportunity to play. So
yeah,
I mean, yeah, that's not.
But unfortunately, his government were not big on not playing in Asia. Even if that was available to them as an option.
I was on some show where Jared wasn't on, and I was arguing who the greatest spin bowling all rounder is, and I wasn't sure. And Jared texts me that Aubrey Faulkner is the greatest spin bowling all rounder, and you should know this. So
I'm always watching.
Always.
Okay. Yep.
Ready for the next round? Ian Botham versus Moeen Ali. Two English all-rounders.
Some will say...
We know who Moeen Ali is better than.
Yes, I was going to say that.
Is Botham or not?
Are you all going to make the cricketing view joke here?
Two very, very different kinds of English all-rounders. But yeah, Beefy takes the cake. Yep.
Easy.
Yeah, look, Moeen Ali's a fascinating one. I mean, we've done whole videos on this before. Mm. Obviously, he's a first-class batter. England see him bowl a little bit and like, maybe you could be a spinner. And he's like, but I'm not a spinner. And they're like, maybe you could be a spinner. And they ruin his batting in every way possible at international level. But to be fair, they were right. Like, they probably believed in his spin bowling more than he did. And, at times they had to pretend to him. Do you remember there was one test match they picked another spinner and they went, oh, it's all right, Mo, you're just number two spinner in this. even though they did not think that, right? Like, they did everything they could to kind of make him feel comfortable. I still think it's a fantastic career. I know there's some holes in it, but, you know, when he was at his best, he was incredible.
And they did everything they could to make him uncomfortable while batting.
I mean, look.
Yeah. The false
that's what I mean, the batting.
If you actually talk about utility players, Moeen Ali is one of the first names that pops up in your head. But Beefy is a pure all-rounder, new ball bowler, averages 30-plus with the bat, has those impactful innings as well, has those Ashes
and makes
tests,
hundreds.
Right? Like, which make him iconic. It's an unfair comparison. Yeah.
Probably a better drinker than Moeen too, easily. I would say.
Would you say, Behram, would you say Beefy is a man of moments?
I would have had to watch his entire career, but no, I think Beefy is the guy who tails off.
I think we're all men of moments.
Based on all the research that we've done and the shows that we've done on Beefy, I understand that he just tailed off within the same test. Like, okay, there's rest day and then the Beefy you get after rest day is shit. Can we actually have post-rest day Beefy go up against Moeen Ali? I'd be keen to see who wins that one.
We need to do a scatter plot with the blood alcohol level of the game and then the batting average.
I can tell you this, day five Moeen Ali is definitely better than day five.
Yes, that's funny. At least with the bat.
Okay.
Even with the ball, you would think
even
he'd
with
be
the
more
ball,
this
right?
Child,
think,
right? Like,
yeah. But is that pattern applicable for him as a bowler as well, Jared? Like, does his bowling also get worse with every innings?
Both of them?
Yeah.
I mean,
if you're hungover,
you
can hungover the whole fucking set. Yeah.
I knew about the batting. I wasn't sure about the bowling.
Anyway, crazy. That's it for Moeen Ali.
All right, so the next round might be a bit tricky. We have Richard Hadley versus Shakib Al Hassan.
Okay. That is slightly tricky. One is more all-roundery, one is better.
One is a spinner, one is a pacer.
Yeah.
I've also made my pick.
I technically both of them big hits.
Oh, Shayan, hello.
No.
I think I know which direction Jared is going.
Yeah, Jared is a deciding vote because Saurabh and I have gone Richard Hadley. Shayan has gone Shakib Al Hassan. And Jared has gone Sir Richard Hadley as well. Not Sunrise's Hyderabad for those of you who are very, very new to cricket.
No. I actually thought he wrote S-A-H. I was like Shakib Al Hassan.
Shakib Al Hassan.
I thought that.
I thought Shakib Al Hassan.
I think this has been the toughest round. This could have gone either way.
Yeah.
We did a video, didn't we, where we said that Shakib might be the most all-round of all-rounders. Yeah. But if you're picking a cricket team tomorrow, surely you go, why don't I get one of the greatest bowlers of all time and a guy who's handy at number eight over the most all-round player of all time, who's probably my second spinner and probably my sixth best batter.
Well, in Bangladesh's team, he's not your sixth best batter. But yeah, if you're picking like a team tomorrow, then
No, but if you're picking a really good team, I think he is.
I mean, let's just say if England had to pick someone to replace Stokes, who do they go for?
No, Shakib probably doesn't drink, so he doesn't fit the bill. He fails the frat boy test.
They pick Keith Miller.
Does he play? Does he golf?
That's a really important question, right? Does he at least open to smoking a cigar? Right? Like, anyway, tough luck. This is indeed or was indeed the hardest pick yet, and I think Shakib would have made the next round had he gone up against most of the other people that we've gone through. Yeah.
Yes.
Is that the biggest upset so far, would you say?
Yeah.
I would say he's the biggest name missing out on the second round, I'd say.
Bangladesh fans are probably really pissed by now because both of Mehdi and Shakib are out. So apologies. go blame Varun.
You should have put them against each other so one had come
Varun.
Through.
Everyone should throw their criticism at Varun because he's the one who made this bracket.
Yeah. So the first round is always on me. Second round onwards, it's on them.
Yeah. It's always, I'm more than happy to dox him if needed.
So, ready for the next round?
Yeah.
It is Sir Garfield Sobers versus Wilfred Rhodes.
This is actually not as straightforward if it was anyone else, because Wilfred Rhodes has a terrific record, but unfortunately, he is going to miss out over here. So it was a 4-0 unanimous vote for Sir Garfield Sobers, and Saurabh wrote Sobers. Oh. Gary was what Jared and Cheyenne wrote, and I was confused, so I went with SGS.
SGS.
That's weirder than SGD, I'm telling you.
I love Wilfred Rhodes as a cricketer, but I mean, I don't think this is... I don't think this is as close as Bayram.
What I meant to say is that Wilfred Rhodes would have beat a lot of other people.
That's what I also thought.
Yeah, I mean, again, Wilfred Rhodes a great not outer in that sort of, you know, Shastri Vittori, Imran Khan style of batting. genuine frontline bowler. Bowls, plays test matches over what, 27 years, is it? Is it 27 years then?
Yeah,
no, sorry, 31 years. 31-year career.
And like, he opened the batting as well as, you know, batted all over.
Yeah, I think he didn't he bat all 11 spots too?
Yeah, I think he might have.
Yeah, I think he's one of them.
Yeah.
No, a fantastic cricketer. Yeah, you're right. I think he would have beaten a couple of... Him versus Shakib would have been a really good round, by the way. And then you could have put Sobers versus Hadley as well, because I don't know if you guys know, but at Trent Bridge, there is the Garfield Sobers waiting area and the Richard Hadley waiting area. Whoa. And we could have recorded the podcast and yelled at each other from the two areas.
Okay, then. Sobers was always going to go through, so tough luck, Wilfred Rhodes. Let's go to the next pick.
We have the South Africans, Sean Pollock versus Lance Klusner.
Okay. Yeah. All right, I'm done.
I think this would be unanimous, yeah.
I cannot look at your screen, Saurabh. You're going to have to fix this, buddy. Yeah. Oh,
yeah, I think you can see it now.
Okay,
see,
so everyone's gone for Pollock,
Sean Pollock.
And Jared and I wrote Polly. Mm. These other guys didn't. Cheyenne writes Sean, which is really bothering me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why?
I think that is odd, Cheyenne. I'll be honest. I don't think I've heard anyone call him Sean.
That's the easiest thing that will fit in my phone screen. I have to
March.
I don't care about the other things. I just care about
Sean
whatever.
Is March.
Like, okay, fair enough. March is Sean March is a Sean. Sean Pollock is a Pollock.
I think at test level, and this is partly because of the way they used him, but Klusner's not really a batter or a bowler in test level.
And Pollock has a ridiculously good record, right? It's tough to compete with him.
Yeah.
We need to do a pod on that, Jared. I think we were going to at some point.
Yeah, I think... If you played Klusner's career back, you just bat him at number six and you get him to be him and basically callous bowls with the new ball and Klusner bowls in a little bit in the middle and he's a much better player for that. And you don't need him to be a frontline bowler because he's a frontline batter and you've now got this incredible depth and you know, and everything else. And him and callous become almost Sobers between them.
Also,
you know what I mean?
If you think about it, you know, he bowls with the new ball, Sean Pollock, and then he's better than Boucher with the bat. So.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why he was batting behind Mark Boucher his whole career. It's not for me, gentlemen. It's not how I like to do things.
Is he bat ahead of Klusner in the semi-final as well?
Yeah, in that game. But yes. I think that was just a one-off, wasn't it? I don't think that was a regular thing.
Okay. Are we done with this round?
All right. So there's one more. That is the final one. Mm-hmm. We have Trevor Goddard versus Andrew Flintoff.
Ooh. That's a good one.
Yeah, that is a really nice one. Mm-hmm. If Varun was playing, he would have voted Goddard. I have no doubt about it. But I have...
If it's a tie, I'll also vote Goddard, in case people are wondering.
Oh, Jared does vote Goddard, and so...
Ooh, and there's a split. Goddard
and so does Saurabh. So this is the first split of the show. Trevor Goddard got his votes from Jared and Saurabh. Cheyenne and I voted Freddie, and because Varun was the deciding vote, well, Freddie's gone. Goddard is through.
Mm. Wow.
He's got a better record, right? Doesn't he have a better batting average and a better bowling average than Freddie?
He also opens...
How and he opens the batting. That's my issue. Tough job.
Three wickets a test.
Exactly three wickets a test.
He bowls a shitload, Cheyenne.
He does.
More than most finger spinners.
I don't know. He's
286 balls per match.
I would say pound for pound. So obviously we expect finger spinners to be the most economical, usually, right? Yeah. But pound for pound, I think if you went through it, I think he's probably the most economical bowler of all time, right? Yeah, he can open the batting. He can bowl like 20 overspells from one end, like Wagner. Yeah, like, not bouncers, but just like literally lock up an end over and over again. Obviously, he's a bit of a plodder with the bat, and he only makes 100. Hmm. So I'm not sure there's much between them with the bat, but even though I think Freddie's a better bowler, Goddard has a much better bowling career than Freddie does. There's no way of looking at this not thinking that's the case.
We've got our ashes. Yeah. Ashes
do you know what his
on,
first class... do you know what his first class bowling economy rate is, Goddard's? He's played 179 games and his economy rate is 1.71.
Wow. Yeah.
It's just, nobody could score off him.
That is true.
No.
That is insane.
He really is. He's one of the most unique cricketers in the history of the game. We did a video on him, didn't we, Cheyenne? We used him in one of our videos, because he really is. People don't know much about him. He's not famous. As I've said before, if you Google Trevor Goddard, it comes up with this random actor who was in like 12 episodes of an American TV show. He's not even the first Trevor Goddard of his
video. Oh, he's the first Trevor Goddard, probably not the famous one, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean. Like, from an SEO point of view, he's the second Trevor Goddard.
Yeah, but I mean,
there was that brief period, by the way, when you would type in Michael Clark and it would auto-correct to Michael Clark Duncan, by the way. But that
I mean, there is Bernard Bosonke as well, the philosopher bro pops up, right?
That is the one I was remembering, I think. But I couldn't quite find the name.
There's a philosopher called Bernard Bosonke?
Yes.
Yeah, there's also this song I did not know that. Written for Bernard Bosonke, the wristspinner's son, when he was on BBC with Jared, shared with me. I'll share it with you sometime. But anyway, Trevor Goddard has knocked out the Ashes Jesus. Bye-bye, Freddie Flintoff. And that is also it for the round of 16. We shall be taking a short break at this moment. You guys are watching Combox Knockouts. Go nowhere, because we will be back in 22 seconds.
I have traveled the cricketing world, and so I've collected two things: the phone numbers of random taxi drivers and overseas SIM cards. Rideshare apps have fixed the first part, and Sally is doing the second. Now, all you need is their eSIM on whatever plan works for you. You activate it, and you can use it anywhere in the cricketing world. It helps you save money. It is a global solution to a global problem. Stop fiddling with tiny SIMs and get the one that does it all. Go to Sally.com Good Areas and use the code Good Areas to get an exclusive 15% off your first purchase. Fly free with Sally.
Welcome back to Combox Knockouts. You are with Jared Behram, Varun, Saurabh and Shayan, and we have just knocked out 16 test all-rounders and we are headed to the quarterfinals. How are we feeling, lads?
This is the round of 16, right?
Yes.
I was just wondering if it was Flintoff versus Shakib who would have gone out.
Oh.
Flintoff. Bro, that's a great one.
I think I'd pick Shakib.
Yeah, I think I would pick Shakib.
I would also.
I'd
pick
Shakib. So then Shakib remains the most high-profile name that has not made it to the next round.
Yeah, Wilfred Rhodes, I guess.
Rhodes, Shastri. But I suppose Shastri averages about 40 with the ball, so his batting is, that's a fascinating one. But yeah, I think I'd go with Shakib.
Shakib is the unluckiest. And Shayan, I think you're right. This would now be the round of 16. Yeah. No, I'm right. This is the quarterfinals. No?
How is it the quarterfinals?
No, it is the round of 16.
No, this is the round of 16.
This is the round of 16.
We started with 32 players.
Behram, you're a football fan. You should be ashamed.
So what you do is you start with 32 and then you halve it.
Yep.
And then you halve
What's the next round in the...
You know what's confused me? It's exactly...
No, Behram is right, actually. It's 16 people, but it is the quarterfinals.
I was right. You guys don't know shit.
Oh, wait. Yes, you are
right. That's what I was thinking.
No way.
No.
You are right.
This is the quarterfinals has 8 people only. The quarterfinals has 8 people. Semifinals are 4 people. Finals
is right. I am wrong.
Let's move on.
Clearly the
I'm not so.
If this is your favorite part of the podcast, I don't blame you.
The new FIFA World Cup format is confusing. Clearly.
Just let Varun say some names, and then we'll make some mistakes in debate.
All right, round of 16. Let's go.
I'm actually not going to read it in chronological order. I'm just going to read it randomly, just so you guys don't know who's playing.
I actually prefer that.
So let's start this off with Ashwin versus Keith Miller.
Oh.
Ah.
You can tell by Saurabh's what he's voting.
No, I'm like, unfortunate for Ashwin to come up against.
No, but it's important for Ash to know that that's the only player that could have beaten him. He's basically second in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, even though he was unanimously voted out when he came up against Keith Miller, he would have won this thing had someone else knocked Keith Miller out and Ashwin had made the final.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way that Ash could beat Miller, really, is there? It's just...
Yeah.
Are you
ready for the next...
You know...
Yeah, because Miller must average less than Ashwin with the ball, too.
Yeah, he might.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
So not only is he a top five batter, he actually averages less with the ball. Like, he's just such a ridiculous cricketer, Miller. Like, it's very hard to beat him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it right that he also didn't take his batting always seriously, right?
He never took it seriously at all. He didn't really take a lot of things seriously, I think, when it came to Keith Miller.
All right. Yep. So you ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aubrey Faulkner versus Ian
Oh
Bolton.
My Whoa. God.
Whoa.
What?
That is the toughest round of the knockout so far.
This is madness.
We've gone from easy to bloodbath very quickly, I think.
Yeah.
And Aubrey also has a drinking. He has a drinking problem later as well, suspense. Right? But that's a different kind of
Not
drinking
yet,
problem.
No. Well, he's anti-drinking is his problem, isn't it?
There's a problem with drinking. And
anyway.
Fuck.
This is tough. I've written a name, but I'm still not sure.
I've made my pick. My...
No, I'm
Derek,
I'm
have you
crossing out the
now?
Choice I made and making
okay.
another
yeah,
choice.
Okay, that is.
That's why it's a good round.
You speak of it like there was a third choice, but okay. Oh, Jared.
Jared.
It's a split. So
blasphemy.
I just
it's
want the audio listeners. If I want the audio listeners to know that Jared has voted for Beefy ahead of Aubrey Faulkner. Cheyenne and I went Faulkner, and Aubrey Faulkner would have been through. If Saurabh hadn't changed his vote. Yeah. Saurabh changes his vote last minute to Botham, and now it's up to Varun to send one of these guys through.
I think I know who Varun is. Like.
Now Varun suddenly realizes that, oh no, he had
his gone Faulkner.
Faulkner has knocked out Beefy Botham. Love it. This is why we do these shows.
Nice.
There's just so much, there's too much filth with Botham, Jared.
There is. The one thing I would say the difference of them is that Faulkner is basically, he only plays two teams, right? And he's kind of a bowler against one team and he's kind of a batter against the other team. Yeah. Whereas Botham can be a bowler and a batter in the same game quite consistently and obviously plays a lot more cricket. Not that that was Faulkner's fault as well. World War One came around at that time. But I do think there is an element of Faulkner was incredible batting against Australia and was incredible bowling against England, but not always in the same games. Whereas Botham, at his absolute best, just took a game or a series apart, right? Like
I think, looking it up, I think if you look at it specifically the 80s, he's not very good versus West Indies and Pakistan. So
Which I also agree with. I do get that. But yeah, I could have gone either way. Obviously,
I honestly feel disgusted with you.
You should,
you know.
Yes, exactly.
I feel like though. Like a proud parent, because I feel like I've influenced the rest of you.
The way I thought of it was that Beefy isn't the greatest seam bowling all rounder of all time, and if Faulkner is the greatest spin bowling all rounder of all time, then he gets my vote.
That's a good point.
Not to his fault, but he's played only 25 tests, and Beefy did it for whatever 100 plus. So,
fair enough.
And if you think about it, Botham, because of his lifestyle, he really plays like 200. Whereas Aubrey Faulkner and his teetotaler professionalism nonsense in the 1910s, trying to get the best out of himself,
correct me if I'm wrong, Jared, and trigger warning for listeners and viewers, doesn't he spiral into a drinking problem towards the end of his life?
No, what happens is he starts a cricket academy and cricket academies only make so much money from the actual thing. Usually they make it then you come in, you're 19 or 20 and you want to play, professional cricket. You go to the academy all day, then you go and have some beers afterwards. Right. So I was at the local Beckenham Cricket Club the other day and there's a bunch of middle-aged men who were out on the bowling machine and they came into the bar and had some beers. And he refused to serve anyone alcohol on the premises. And eventually when he lost up a couple of, big-named students and coaches, people just stopped coming. And he couldn't – there was no other way for him to make money, which is why he started – he's actually a bit of an unsuccessful entrepreneur. He ended up with trying to inject latex into bats to make bats stronger.
Whoa.
And it didn't work, and also it was illegal, so in cricket rules. So, his father was an alcoholic. That's why he never drank. This got dark. Anyway, he's very good at cricket, and he's very unlucky. But Botham is a fucking genius.
Yeah, but Botham is the one who's unlucky, because Aubrey just went through.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Yes. But Botham's still with us and Aubrey's not.
I suppose.
Yeah.
I can tell you, I know who had more fun in their life.
Well,
and it
Aubrey
was not
Faulkner fights the World War, so clearly he did not have a lot of fun. Yes.
Two wars. He fought in two wars.
So you ready for the next round?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A more easier one. I'm going Sean Pollock versus Trevor Goddard.
Okay. I feel like this is going to be really funny. I've gone Goddard this time. and those two. So, I just want to repeat what happened over here. Saurabh, Jared, and Varun are the reason Goddard made it this far. And now, what we've seen over here is that Jared and Saurabh have voted for Pollock. Cheyenne and I have been convinced to vote for Trevor Goddard, and it's gone to Varun again as the deciding vote.
Uh-huh. This is lovely.
You thought this is easy.
I actually don't know who's the answer here. Do you know what? When in doubt, I'll always pick the better bowler. Okay, Sean Pollock goes through.
Bye bye, Trevor G.
I think their batting is probably pretty similar, except for the fact that Goddard bats up the order and gets more chances to go further. And Polly could have batted a six, and he bats at 8 and 9, like because of the weird teams that South Africa picked. And there's no world in which you don't pick Sean Pollock over Trevor Goddard as bowler. As useful and weird and great as he was.
Even late career Pollock. You take late career Pollock over. Goddard, no?
You voted for Trevor Goddard. And now you're making a case for Pollock?
In the previous round.
Because we think he's better than Freddie Flintoff.
That's I'm up to Cheyenne though. Cheyenne is the guy who voted Goddard with me. Anyway, he's gone.
He thought he was...
Goddard right? also...
He thought he was voting for that actor.
Goddard also batted as if he was batting against himself, right?
You would know because you were alive for it anyway. Sean Pollock is through. Trevor Goddard is out. Varun, continue with the chaos, please.
Ben Stokes versus Daniel Vittori.
That is a bit chaotic. Okay. Two very different kinds of cricketers in everything that they did.
Yeah. But I have my pick.
Vittori. I'm having a suspicion here which I will... air after this round.
Okay, so we've all gone for Stokesy. 4-0 in favor of Benjamin Andrew Stokes.
Is Varun secretly a Stokes fanboy? He's giving him a fairly easy pass.
You know, I guess you'll never
building up to this.
Or has Bairam hacked into the way the...
Maybe I'm giving a part of the PR money that I received for Ben Stokes to Varun, because in the build-up to this knockout...
Why did you share some of that here as well?
What's really funny is that this episode is being planned for like a year. Okay, I'm not even joking. It's been a long time. And Varun, throughout in the build-up, has kept pestering with the idea that he's going to fuck Stokes over. And here he is in the quarterfinals. True.
Yeah, of course. Got a keen perception.
And I don't know if Ben Stokes is amongst the 8 greatest all-rounders of all time, but he isn't. In this age.
He's made it to the 8. The hateful 8. Yeah. All
right. Maybe he just hates New Zealanders.
Maybe.
Not wrong.
But I tell you what, at the end of their career, Vittori was a better bat than
that's
Stokes,
true.
By the way.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, by the end of his career, Stokes is a way better bowler than Vittori.
Also, the 8 people that you eliminated on Vibes, was one of them Jeremy Coney?
No, he doesn't bowl enough, does he? Hmm.
No, that's because he's going for the...
Yeah. I was just trying to piece things together.
I would have thought Alan Davison is someone that you might have probably excluded.
Yes, Alan Davison, I actually had him...
We would really like to know later on who were the 8 eliminated on Vibes. Yeah.
He won't know. He did it like 12 months ago. He's forgotten.
Okay.
Are you ready for the next round?
Maybe something like Hammond.
Yeah. Richard Hadley versus Gary Sobers.
Okay, so...
Oh, man. You do hate New Zealanders.
With a passion. This is going to be pretty straightforward. I expect a unanimous vote. And we have gotten a unanimous vote. Actually, didn't know that because I can't read shit on Saurabh's screen. But I take it.
I take it that he voted
for Sobers. And 4 votes for Sobers. Bye, Richard Hadley.
This is really sad. Yeah, I was hoping Richard Hadley would make it. You know, I would have voted for him against some more accomplished batting all-rounders.
I don't know about his batting though, right? Like, does he make 200 or 300?
It's very Ashwin-like, Jared. I think he's a better batter than Ashwin, but there's a similar vibe.
He makes two or three hundreds.
Remember, one of those was when the West Indies purposely stopped trying in a Test match because they were upset at the umpiring. So, I don't know, the fact he can bat. I'm not saying he's not an all-rounder. Mm-hmm. He might be the third best all-rounder to play for Nottingham, by the way, because they had Sobers. They also had Clive Rice. They had a ridiculous murderous row of all-rounders from generation to generation there.
Anyway,
He has 14 first-class hundreds, 31.71 first-class average. So, yeah, I mean, it's not... Yeah. It's but slightly lesser at test level, but I think the average doesn't suffer so much for test, but
he's,
the hundreds come down.
He's 7.5, isn't he?
Also, Jared, you got your wish.
Yeah. That's why I said the Ashwin comparison.
You got Hadley versus Sobers. That's what you asked for. And if we were at Trent Bridge, none of us would be in the Hadley side of the ground because we've all voted Sobers.
So, Bayram, you haven't covered a test in Trent Bridge yet, have you? Saurabh, have you?
No, I have not, actually.
So it's important that I tell this story. So I made the joke about the waiting area before, right? But you have to understand how shit it is. You're talking about two absolute legends of the game, right? And you go in, and to get to, it's the opposite of the pavilion end, the Redcliffe Road stand, right? It's one of the best stands. If you ever get a chance to, you know, watch a test match or an international, the top of the Redcliffe Road is one of the best places in world cricket to watch cricket from, right? I promise you. It's just incredible. Lovely walk out to the ground on the canals. You've got the food just outside the ground. Like, lots of really good things about it. But then in this Redcliffe Road, there's two staircases on either side, right? And everyone has to use these staircases because there's like one lift for the whole stand, which is ridiculous, but that's a different conversation for a different day. And at the bottom of the staircases, there's like this little dingy area with no light, like no natural light, with this tiny little plaque that says the Gary Sobers waiting area. And then on the other side, it's the same thing. Like, it's literally the size of a slight, like a disability toilet, right? With no natural light and like this little bad plot. And it's so sad. Anyway, every time I go there, it makes me smile. Oh, and this test match, because it got to 38, 39 degrees, they used it. That was the first aid centers. So you couldn't even wait there, right? Ooh, you had to be allowed in by the, by the first aid responders. Jesus.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it for Richard Hadley.
All right, ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Done.
Yeah.
Sorry, Paddle.
Imran Khan versus Tony Greig.
Yeah.
They were friends, weren't they? I think they're quite close friends.
No, fair.
Okay.
Tony Gregg's quite an arrogant person, but there's no way even he was voting himself through there.
Yeah.
I mean, again, if you're coming up against the likes of Sobers and Imran, you're probably, you know, unlucky. Tony Greig, fantastic cricketer. But yeah, misses out over here. I don't think there needs to be any justification either because we all voted for Imran.
Would you guys have had him in the top 16 all-rounders?
Greig?
Yeah.
Oh, I know George Dobell's really, really high on Tony Greig as a player. And I think he's definitely underrated. He doesn't play that many games in the end because he leaves for World Series cricket. And when he goes to World Series cricket, he does not take it seriously as a cricket product. So while a lot of those other guys end up with these incredible numbers, because they all thought of it as like the IPL, right? Like, it was like, this is the 40 best cricketers in the world. Tony Greig wasn't even training. The Australians were furious at him because he wouldn't do any preparation for any games. And they were like, we have to make this look like it's the most important thing in the world. And you're all off in your underwear doing fucking, you know, ads. By the way, Rakshit, if you Google Tony Greig underwear, you can put a clip of him up as I say this. So I do think there was I do think there's probably a bit of a hole in his career, but he was probably the closest, I would have said, Varun, to getting to the Aubrey Faulkner number of averaging over 40 and under 30 with the ball.
That's a good one.
I think he's very close to it. Yeah,
I know Miller's close as well. There's a couple.
He's averaging 32 with the ball, isn't he? So yeah.
I mean, and also, you know, he could bowl spin as well. As I said before, he was a very, very talented cricketer.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just unfortunate.
And a good fielder too.
Also, you mentioned how he goes to World Series cricket and misses out, but he wouldn't have played at all had he not moved from South Africa to England, Tony Greig.
His life story, I don't think, has really been covered enough. I do think if someone ever wrote a really good book, I think it would be a phenomenal book because he changed cricket in about three. He's also the guy that was in basically the lead of the ICL.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
So the IPL, it partly exists because of Tony Greig. Sponsorship in cricket partly exists because of Tony Greig. He was a freelance cricketer who left his country to play. And then he set up World Series cricket, which has led to everything else. Like he might be the most important cricketer in the history of the game in some ways because he was at every hinge point.
And he was also, I think at one point, one of the most famous commentators.
That's the thing.
I was about to say.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
He was a pioneer in a lot of
fields.
There
will be some people watching this episode and they'll only know about Tony Greig, the commentator. And now they'll be looking up his record, right? Yeah. So anyway, that's enough time on him. He's knocked out. Immy's through. Let's go.
So it's the two left arm finger spinners up against each other. We have Jadeja versus Munkert.
Ooh,
that's a good one. But I know
that is a really good one, actually.
I think it'll be unanimous.
You think?
Yeah.
I'm not sure about Jared.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I think he will also be good.
Jared's gone, Shakib. No. It is unanimous. Four votes for Jadeja. He's through, and Vinu Munkert is out. Mm. Tough luck, but I mean, Jadeja, I think, is one of the finest all rounders that we've ever seen. So.
Yeah. I mean, Vinu Munkert is great, but like,
was he a good fielder?
Jadeja.
Because Jadeja takes a lot of those points, right?
I don't remember there being much about his fielding.
Yeah, there's nothing. I mean, in that era, the only fielder who was spoken of for his fielding was Eknath Solkar. Yeah. And of course, Kapil was an outstanding fielder, but Kapil was not Vinu Munkert's time.
But also, Indians weren't really known as good fielders.
Yes,
so even if he's a par fielder, I think he's probably under par compared to some of the other teams.
Yeah.
There's one fun story though. When they go to England in 1971 and win that series, they did not drop a single catch apparently in that series, is what Ajit Wadekar, the captain, says. Oh, and Rob loved that. I mean, Rob was.
I mean, also, Ajit slept through large parts of that series.
So he might have missed a few drop catches.
To be fair, that was when they were batting, no?
I know, but I'm just saying, I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying, I'd like to go back and watch every single ball myself before I go.
It's funny that Rob Barron likes that stat, but if Rob Barron had been there, he would have like counted at least 15 catches dropped, you know?
Yeah.
You would have counted 5 to 7 drops at least.
Anyway, who's next, Varun? Yep.
You ready? And this is the final round of the round of 16.
The round of 16.
Oh my god.
So it's Kapil Dev versus Jack Kallis.
All right. Now we're having some fun, aren't we?
I know. This is a fun one, but I think I know where I'm going.
Okay. All right. So what is Saurabh's vote?
Yeah.
What is it?
I love how he wrote Kallis and then said Kapil just to confuse it even more.
Yeah, so that'll be it for Kapil Dev. Shayan, you did vote for him. The rest of us voted Kallis. So you can give your rationale right about now.
Yeah.
You don't want to?
I think it's just that I preferred bowling more. So I just wanted to go with someone who's going to give me more wickets. Like, and he batted in the top 7, right? It's not like Kapil Dev was a number 8 batter who's like, you know, padding not outs at the end or anything like that. And he batted fast. So obviously, there's no comparison in their batting. But I do think his batting might be a more useful resource than Kallis's bowling.
Also,
who was more of a 4.
The most useless stat padder I've ever seen after KL Rahul was Kapil Dev.
That's a good one. I like that.
He averaged 33 in wins and draws, I want to say.
Varun, if it had been a tie, Varun, who would you have voted for?
Probably Kallis, I think.
Yeah, it's fair just enough. The weight of the numbers for me, you know. I would have loved to vote for Kapil. It's like a stark contrast in watchability. But, you have to vote for Kallis.
Yeah, I think also with Kapil, like, we know he could have batted better, right? Yeah. So there is a bit of he didn't maximize himself.
That's fair.
But also, their bowling averages aren't that far apart.
I was going
apart.
To make that case, right? Like, Kapil is not killing it on
Kapil
the bowling front.
Kapil bowls twice the overs, right?
But Kapil also...
Kapil does bowl twice the overs.
Oh, but no. I'm not saying he doesn't bowl, but what I'm saying is, like, that's the one thing Kapil should be catching up to. Kallis on.
Kapil's one of the best wind bowlers in Test history, I think.
And he has a good record in Australia and the West Indies, I want to say, with the ball.
But terrible in England and New Zealand.
I can never explain.
No sense for his kind of bowling.
That's also true, yeah.
It's also, is it because he was a one-man attack in a lot of those
That's
places.
Also there. Yes. That
oh, yeah, sure.
I
mean,
but yeah. I think you can...
Whereas Kallis is coming in behind Pollock and Donald.
Exactly.
And
on more helpful pitches. But I'm just saying, if that's the thing you're going to catch up to him on, you kind of need to be averaging 26, not 29.
I mean, if you look at their primary skills, I think Kallis is a better batter than Kapil is a bowler. And that's probably what made me vote for Jack Kallis. Yeah. But also,
we
have to consider...
I mean, Kallis isn't a top 10 bowler of all time.
I mean, there was that one tweet which said that Jack Kallis would have been ESPN Cricket Info's greatest cricketer of the 21st century as a batter or bowler. That happened. That tweet is out there.
What?
You guys showed it to me. Why are you reacting? But anyway.
I have no idea.
No, I didn't show it to you. I'm reacting shocked because it's the first time hearing it.
As a bowler.
One of you guys.
That is a very common opinion.
Anyway, but Kapil also overextends.
Isn't Sachin versus... Sachin plus Zaheer thing, where he's like, he's as good a batter as Sachin, as good a bowler
as
Zaheer.
That's also unfair that on Zaheer, because Zaheer bowls in India primarily.
Of course it is unfair. Yeah,
but I think...
of course it is
and bowls
unfair.
A lot
not
more.
Even a comparison.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Jared, but Kapil's record would have looked better had he just called time on his career a bit earlier.
I don't think that one holds up. Yes, he didn't really play on as long as everyone thinks. I think there's just a couple of uncles who won't stop moaning about
that. It's only in the last couple of series of his, no, which seemed to drag on, which was because he was near the 431 mark of Richard Hadlee and he wanted to overtake that.
I think his average is still good, but he's not bowling as much.
Yeah. How many fucking batters play on for like 3 years past their prime?
Exactly.
And we have an all-rounder hold on for like two series and fucking uncles around the world are like, oh yeah, but he bowled on for his record.
Kapil retired in 93, 94. In 92, India toured Australia and he was the best bowler there. Like the series where Tendulkar makes that 100 at Perth and Warne's debut and all that.
Yeah. Kapil was Sachin, best bowler. Who thinks Sachin didn't hold on till the end?
He did.
Exactly. So I agree with Jared. That doesn't hold up. I don't think he had such a prolonged slump as people think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really, on the numbers, it's almost... You can't see it. As Varun said, it's just that he doesn't bowl as much. Yeah. He clearly wasn't the same level of player, but he's probably still, in that team, he's probably still more than good enough to keep playing.
Yeah, fair enough. Anyway, he's gone now. Kapil Dev has been knocked out by Jacques Callis. And that is also the end of the round of 16, not the quarterfinals. We're heading to the quarterfinals, but before that, we'll be taking a short break. Go nowhere, guys. We'll be back in about 16 seconds.
Brian Lara used pot plants to work on his placement. John Wright glued his glove to his bat. Sachin Tendulkar dug up practice pitches. Tatenda Taibu cut the top off his bat. Claire Taylor used a hockey grip. Steve Smith was from tennis. Dean Jones would call phantom runs. And Victor Trumper turned the nets into a war zone to survive. The best batters in the world do whatever they have to make runs. We have told their stories in our new book, The Art of Batting.
Welcome back to Combox Knockouts. We are currently knocking out the greatest test all-rounders of all time. It's going fun. 8 all-rounders remain. And let's kick off the quarterfinals. Varun Alvaconda.
He's had a good run. I've tried my best not to stitch him up, but it's time for Ben Stokes to fuck off. He's going up against Imran Khan.
Oh, boy.
I wanted this matchup.
It should have been the first matchup, the round of...
He was threatening us with this matchup. It's only that he just delayed it by a few rounds.
Behram, what did you write? I can't see what you wrote. I can't see what you've written.
I wrote Imi.
No. Why isn't it Stokes?
Oh, okay. This right here behind me is Imran Khan. So, I mean, Stokesy, love the guy, but he doesn't stack up against one of the greatest all-rounders of all time. Sorry, Stokesy.
As Behram said, he's a fan, not a moron.
Indeed.
But I love...
Good on Stokesy to make the final 8, honestly. I think he got a very favorable draw.
Yeah, of course.
He got the sort of draw that England, the football team, usually get in these, you know, multi-team tournaments. Anyway.
And still don't win, though.
Heard? So we have Sir Garfield Sobers versus Sean Pollock.
Okay, well... Yes. Saurabh might say he was sober-esque. I mean, why even bother? This was...
Again, Pollock, a very good run for Sean Pollock.
I think this round of quarterfinals will be pretty straightforward because the bloodbath has already happened in the round of 16 and now heading to the semi-finals, it'll be easy. Yeah, because we've had two
absolutely
unanimous votes in favor of Sobers and Imran. So, I mean, there you have it.
I'm thinking the other two will also be unanimous unless he's pitting two of them against each other.
So we have a very easy run. We have Jack Callis versus Keith Miller.
Is that that easy?
That's what he did.
How is that easy?
That is easy, bro. Done.
Oh, he's got Miller. Man.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Shayan is not.
Like, I spent way too much time with Varun.
Shayan is definitely not throwing caution to the wind over here, but I'll go a bit safe. I'll go for a...
Jared looks like he's been asked to pick his favorite child.
Here. Jared, come on. You can't let us down.
And I think all Saurabh has tried to do in this entire episode is show us the reflection of the sun. Because
you can't read.
I can read it, Jared, I can read it.
He's gone for Callis. There is no split. I thought this might go to Varun for, you know, the final pick, but no.
Yeah.
Miller's gone. Shayan voted for him.
I'm disappointed.
I wrote Miller and cancelled it, but it wouldn't have been fair. I mean, Yeah.
I think if Miller bats, I mean, it's a bit like Kapil Dev, right? If Miller bats up to his full ability, like you're talking about a guy who was batting two spots behind Bradman and got bored and came out and just slogged, right? Yeah. Like, and yet still averages 37 in Test match cricket and averaged 23 with the ball and was probably a top five bowler in the world at his time. But again, I don't know. I think Miller's second skill is better than Callis's second skill.
Yeah, easily.
I don't know if his first skill is better than Callis's. Yeah. And that's where I couldn't quite.
There is a flaw in your argument, Jerry.
I mean, we're lucky better. That
and
Ricky Ponting.
That's how I have been picking players today. That's clearly how I have been.
I suppose.
I
was just going to say no, that good, we're lucky that Ricky Ponting is not a part of this panel because he would have voted for Callis twice, right?
Mm-hmm. So for those who don't know, Keith Miller in first class cricket almost averaged 50. And that's the player that Australia thought they were picking. But he did play behind this ridiculous batting lineup of like Morris and Bradman and all these other guys. And he would come out and he'd just be like, well, the score's already 300 for three. What do I care? Right? Like, and, you know, maybe that's some reasons why he's a better cricketer than Callis, because Callis comes out at 300 for three and he's like, how do I get myself to 40 not out off 120 balls here, right? And that is a direct joke of an innings that Callis has made, by the way.
Yes. Against Bangladesh, right, Jared? Is it not?
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So I do... It's a hard one. I'd say I was 51% Callis, 49% Miller. I, you know,
yeah.
I think you go in either direction. But I don't know. I feel sick. I feel wrong. I voted against Aubrey and Keith Miller on this.
Jared, are you safe to go for your Christmas family reunions?
Exactly.
Will the Kimbers of Australia spare you?
I'll say this, like, my grandfather is dead, and so he's the one who might have been the most upset at this.
Oh, well.
Varun has pitted Callis against Kapil and then Miller, you know, he, like, Varun is properly
trying to get rid of him one after the
other. Yeah.
Varun, which way would you have voted if that split?
I would have gone Miller.
Yeah, that's my guy. Finally.
So that's partly why I went Callis, because I figured Varun would go Miller, and I don't know if that was fair for Miller to go in ahead of Callis. Having said that, I think Miller is probably a top four, isn't
he?
Yeah, I thought these would be the top four. You know, Imran and Sobers have gone through. I thought Miller and Callis would make the top four. He pitted them against each other.
That's Varun for you. And for all the Keith Miller families in Australia, we will dox Varun for you if you want to.
Anyone in Bangladesh or Melbourne or Sydney can get his details if they ask.
Okay, then.
All right, we have the final quarterfinal. It's Jadeja versus Aubrey Faulkner.
Okay.
I think this is fitting.
This is very fitting because we needed one spin bowling all rounder in the final four. So this kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
We already have one, technically.
But I think
you technically do. You're not wrong.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Oh, I hope this isn't a tie because I don't know.
This is a tie thus far. I've gone Aubrey Faulkner. Cheyenne has gone Ravindra Jadeja. Mm-hmm. These two are cheating at this point. Oh, Jadeja wins. Yeah. Ravi Jadeja has knocked out Aubrey Faulkner. Jared hasn't voted for Aubrey Faulkner twice, by the way.
Well, I think that when I messaged you on that other show telling you that Aubrey Faulkner was the greatest spin all-rounder ever, I think Jadeja has gone past him.
Okay.
Ooh. Yeah.
Fair. Late career Jadu's batting is ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
And the bowling more than holds up for itself. I think I'm happy with that. I think that Aubrey Faulkner's ceiling was perhaps higher as a batter and as a bowler. But again, I'm not sure he did it as much in the same games the way that...
I think sample size does as a batter, matter, of course. We've got our four semi-finalists now, and Ravindra Jadeja, Imran Khan, Sir Garfield Sobers, and Jacques Callis. And we will be taking our final break off this knockouts round, because once we get to the semis, it's just semis, finals, done. Cheyenne wanted to be somewhere 15 minutes ago, so I don't know what's going on with him. But anyway, go nowhere. We'll be back in like 16 seconds, so see you very, very shortly.
Ross Taylor couldn't see at night or when the clouds were in. Eventually, he had to see an eye specialist who would fix his eyesight. In the 2 years before the change, he still averaged more than 50 in international cricket. The top level of batting talent can basically see in the dark. That is who we are talking about in our new book, The Art of Batting. Head over and order your copy today.
Welcome back to Combox Knockouts. We are currently, we're almost there. We've knocked out, 20... 8 test all-rounders, the greatest ones in history. We are on to our last four. The semi-finals have arrived. We have no clue how Varun has pitted these guys up against each other, so that's a surprise for us as well. Let's see what he has for us.
I hope he's not causing a bloodbath.
Jadeja versus Sobers.
Oh my, I mean, like this is where it ends. Isn't it? Oh my God, the other semi-final is crazy.
I'm going to pick the second best finger spinner.
Unfortunately, that's it for Ravindra Jadeja, but he had a fantastic run, made it all the way to the semis. I think he has a very good claim to be there as well amongst the top four.
Pretty fair.
I have already written my next pick.
I think I also know who to pick.
And we have the second semi-final. I'm just going to say Imran Khan.
This is what it all comes
Khan.
Down to, right? People fight over this sort of shit on Twitter. And it's unanimous.
Wow. It's unanimous.
Wow. I figured it would be unanimous on this panel. I don't think it would be on
the internet will make a case for Callis. But I always say this, that Jacques Callis is a batting all-rounder and bowling is the tougher gig. And Imran is averaging 22 with the ball.
Yeah.
Are you going to keep that energy for the final?
For an
you
Asian,
keep that energy for
an
Miller versus
Callis.
You know what, Bairam? Callis beats Imran on your favorite metric, which is average differential.
It's not my favorite.
So have you finally
ditched that? It's not my favorite metric anymore. Varun watches all the pro sports stuff. Varun can attest to the fact that I have been saying that average differential is actually flawed and I was wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, we have converted Bairam.
He's improved a lot.
All right then. So we're on to the final.
I feel like Jared's been dead inside ever since we had Aubrey versus Ian Botham.
Yeah.
But I think we've come to the correct top two. It has to be Sobers versus Imran.
Yeah. Yes.
That's
Imran Khan versus Garfield Sobers.
Generally, we end up with the top. We at one stage of these knockouts, we have one round that makes sense.
Yeah.
And this is the one.
I mean, I honestly don't know who to pick.
Announce it, Varun. Announce it.
Mm? Yeah, you should announce it.
I did say Garfield Sobers versus Imran Khan.
Yeah. Well, I am sorry, Imran. But
Clean sweep, unanimous again.
Garfield Sobers is.
This is the point where I stop caring about bullying. Yeah. Like when it's Sobers, then I think. Yeah, I think I've had enough.
So
Garfield Sobers is the greatest all-rounder ever.
He is.
So Varun is the only one of us who would have voted for Imran.
Yes,
by the way,
exactly,
and he doesn't get a vote. Because of this.
I thought about it, but Sobers has multifaceted bowling. He is your new ball bowler if he wants to bowl pace, and he's your frontline spinner, slow left armer. It's tough to compete with that because he's such an important bowler for the West Indies, plus the batting average of 57 point whatever. I think like Imran had a very good shout, and some people might even pick him. Varun would have picked him, perhaps.
Yeah.
I think they're both top 10 on their skills, so... I think
but who's the better one on
their
primary skill, Jared? Who would you go for? That's a tough question, right?
I don't think there's much between
them.
There's
not much.
I think maybe I'd have to have a look further at Sean, but I don't think Imran Khan would be far away from the eighth best bowler of all time, which is where Garfield Sobers is.
Yes, that's what I would say.
The difference is that Garfield Sobers' bowling, at least for the second part of his career, is genuinely frontline bowling.
And more flexibility.
And he is.
With his
he's genuinely the third best bowler in his team. I don't think Imran was ever the third best batter in his team. He's very good at getting not outs, but I don't think he was the third best.
Yeah.
And I think that I've talked to a lot of cricketers from that era, especially Imran's era, about his batting. And they were like, we know that no one could get him out, but no one was that worried about him from that way. But if you go back and you listen to people, especially when Sobers starts bowling with the new ball, they were like, no, he was tough to face with the new ball. And then he would come back and he'd bowl either bouncers or Yorkers at you. There were no other left armers around.
Yes.
He was quicker than most of the other left armers. He's just more dangerous all the way through. Mm. And then you've got him as a stock bowler if you need him as well. So I don't think there's a lot between them. But I do think that genuinely,
fielding?
Garfield's so
who
busy.
Would you go for fielding?
Yeah, well, I mean, Sobers? I haven't factored fielding too much into this, but if you factor
Sobers
in fielding, there's a huge
that's
Sobers,
what I was saying,
would easily.
I think one of the big reasons we disagree is because I don't trust eyewitness testimonies a lot.
At a certain point, Varun, like you learn to read through. It's like doing a meta analysis, right? Mm. at a certain point, what you do is you keep going through and you listen to the people who actually make the most sense. And then but then what you have to do is find out why they're saying the thing.
Correct.
So what they're saying about Imran is, yes, he could stay in, but we didn't think he was ever going to take the game away from us. Mm. Whereas if you're opening the batting against Sobers, you are genuinely afraid he's going to take two or three quick wickets.
Correct.
And there is a period of time where he was probably in the top five or six best new ball bowlers in the world, right? Oh. There's no period of time where Imran is in any sort of top five or six list of batting in any direction.
That's fair.
And then as Shayan said, he's probably at the same time the best close-in catcher in the world and the best outfielder at the world at the same time. So you just keep adding these different layers to it. And even if you bring in Imran's captaincy, Sobers was also a pretty successful captain for a long period of time.
As I said, when in doubt, I always go for the better bowler.
Even if you look at personalities, right, they're both maverick sort of personalities and they're both party boys, slightly bad boys. And Sobers probably beats Imran on that front as well.
I think Imran
has the greatest aesthetic differences between batting and bowling on this list.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is 100% true.
Yeah. The sexiest bowler, the least sexy batter. I like that.
He's got a very Jadeja feel about his batting, is it not, guys? Like, his batting is very, like, he's not going to get out.
He's boring bowler as well, Dasha, and I don't like his bowling.
Who, Imran?
You mean for Jadeja?
Jadeja. Okay. I find I was just comparing
their batting, that they're both very similar kind of batters. They're not going to get out, but you're not as scared of them when you're bowling to them, right? Like, this is the Stokes versus Jadeja batting argument in a way. Where, you know,
we
Stokes
talked about that
ceiling.
Too before, didn't we? Vittori is another one. Like, there are those guys who they find a late career method. And remember, Imran wasn't a particularly good bat for a long time, and he found a method of not being dismissed, which works for him, right? Like, it does make him into... I think you can argue that for 10 years, he's the closest thing we've ever had to Bradman. When you look at everything that he did. But Sobers, even when Sobers was just the second best spinner in the side, right? He's still a very good defensive option as a spinner at that time. So he's in some ways, he's more of an all-rounder all the way through, I think, as well. Whereas maybe with Imran, it comes a little bit later.
We often speak about the Imran Khan peak, right? Like, for 10 years, he was averaging over 50 with the bat and under 20 with the ball. Over a period of over a span of 50-plus test matches, mind you. So that's quite significant. But correct me if I'm wrong, Sobers also has a similar-ish peak, doesn't he?
Yeah, it would be like a 70 average with the bat, maybe.
Something like that.
More like under 30 with the ball, I would guess.
I think Imran's best peak, there's like a 40-inning stretch where he's averaging over about 45 with the bat and like 15 with the ball. Mm. That's probably his... Because the runs and wickets come in the same games.
Yeah.
Whereas I think with the 50 average thing, some of it is a bit cheating because he stops bowling at like 87.
That's true.
No, he also stops bowling, so he's not an all-rounder.
I mean...
Imran does miss some test matches
Dude, he retires.
I think I noticed that in...
He retired and then Pakistan's president at the time told him to come and play for Pakistan again. That's what happens.
No, I know about the retirement. I'm saying even more in the... I think just after his peak ends, I think he starts to miss a few test matches. I remember talking about this to Varun, where his availability perhaps... Like, I would have to compare that with Sobers once. I don't know. Like, I don't want to deep into
Imran
that.
Imran talks about that people didn't want to play under Javed. I think maybe
there was also this thing, I think... Don't quote me on this. I can remember some...
Well, about everyone is about to, but...
I'm reading somewhere where Imran said that it's a home series versus New Zealand, you don't need me.
That sounds like something he could have said.
That sounds like something Varun would also say because he also hates New Zealand players, right?
He does hate New Zealand, doesn't he? If we've learned anything today, it's that Garfield Sobers is the greatest all-rounder of all time and that Varun hates all of New Zealand.
Yeah.
That's...
Not Ben Stokes, though. Yes. Not Ben Stokes. Ben Stokes didn't make it to quarters.
Yeah, Ben Stokes had a pretty good run. But that's it for this episode of Combox Knockouts. We'll do more of these, hopefully, as we move on. But I really hope that all of you enjoyed this one. It's been a long time coming. Varun was really excited about it.
Yeah.
I think he did a pretty good job as Game Master as well. And it wasn't as controversial as some of these episodes have gotten in the past. I'll say that.
Yeah, it was really fun, though.
I
enjoyed it more than the battles.
The takeaways are that Jared is not big on Aubrey Faulkner anymore. And Keith Miller. Varun hates New Zealanders. Yeah. Shayan loves Kapil Dev. Mm-hmm. And Saurabh, I don't think you gave us anything.
I love bowling, guys. I love bowling all-rounders more than batting all-rounders.
I said Kapil Dev could have had Sobers numbers.
There you go. That is the highlight.
That is also a highlight. Yeah. And that's about it, guys. So go follow Combox everywhere. Like, share, and subscribe. And we'll be back on your screens on some other show soon enough. We're going to be giving you regular content here on. So Keep an eye out and stay tuned to Combox TV. That's all for now. Have a good one, everyone, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Ruckshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv. If you make any content, Minbo Pro is the tool for you. Take your long format content and cut it and slice it for social media. This AI-inspired weapon will turn your one piece of work into so many clips. Try Minvo.pro now.